For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast is fueled by The Man Shake. I lost 30 kilos in 10 months using this meal replacement shake. If you want to support the show and Max in my weight loss journey, or to even start your own, click the link in the description below. The Man Shake. Real blokes, real results.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with the 40 years of playing PlayStation, 8 plus years in that games meeting combined. Thank you for joining us in this in-person PlayStation podcast show. Yeah.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Puck comes through, 2 months, prime sub. What a way to kick shit off. Max, you are back in the room.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be back. I don't miss this chair. This chair sucks.
This chair sucks so hard. But, Patreon, we need to give a new chair.
But yeah, it's good to be back. It's just a completely different dynamic.
It is. It's such a different feel. It feels weird doing the show without headphones on. Probably the first one.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to know that I'm not going to be able to pause the audio this week by accident, because I'm just useless at that. I'm so good at pausing my recording mid-show.
But look, we for the last 6 months, every show has started with some sort of COVID update. So like, look, we're here in Victoria.
Update.
Update. We're done. It's still here. However, here in Victoria, in Australia, we have finally had our Freedom Day, where the government essentially went, look, you're 70% double vaxxed. Just fucking get out there. Get going.
Did you see the good news? Our local area of Geelong hit 95% single dose ratings yesterday. So they actually expect us to hit that 80% mark next week.
Yeah, man, it's going to look good.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different steps about as the vaccines progress, but one of the current changes is that you can have people in your home again. Mm. And you know, as long as you're double vaxxed, I am you too, so shit's good all up in this place, but it's so good just to see people again. Like, it's interesting. So like, so yesterday, Friday, at time of recording, was the day of freedom, right?
Yeah.
So I went and hung out with my work friends outside of work. But even then, it was weird because, like, I see them every day. They're the same crew that I see all the time. But, like, seeing them in a different location just added a whole different dynamic.
Mm.
Like, so our friend of the show, Craig, was meant to come over today, but something's come up, so we're going to catch up tomorrow. But, like, it's just that idea is just... it's so good.
Gonna watch that Crown Jewel.
Oh, apparently it's not that bad. shitty pay per view. But apparently, like some of the matches, not that bad. But yeah, so like, it's bizarre. It's really, really bizarre because we're at a point of no turning back now. Yeah. We can never return to what we were before in terms of lockdowns and shit. So like, this is it. This is our normal again.
I hope so.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm excited because. Now that we've got this stuff, it means that there is no more, especially here in Victoria at least, there is no more quarantining for those who are double vaccinated when they come into the state, which means my parents can come and visit without having to quarantine on the way in or out. Yeah. Like, it's such a good feeling.
That's awesome. So, but yeah, like, so obviously it's unquestionably fantastic. Yeah. Like, because one of the biggest hurdles that you had is they could come visit in theory, but then they'd have to like 14 days, and you know, that's just unreasonable.
But it was an extra $3,000 per way on each trip for that hotel quarantine for 14 days, and now that's just gone.
No.
Like, you know, that's a big barrier. I mean, we're still with the only restrictions that's still really here that's kind of sucky is that Metro still can't play with regional.
Yeah,
so, which I still can't see my sister. You obviously can't see your dad.
Which, we're saying that though, so everything is looking to, if all everything goes as planned, that the next step is on the 5th of November, so the 6th being my birthday, don't forget it. The 6th of November is my birthday, and we're going out for lunch. So then we'll be recording a show in the afternoon.
Have you booked?
Sure have.
Already?
Yep. It's like the second that we knew the date and the second that we could guarantee a thing, I went and booked something. Just to sort
of go. Nice to know I wasn't invited, but sure.
What numbers, brother? They can be like, oh yeah, troops, tens.
I get it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Dick.
No, it's mostly, it's just family.
You're
so.
Like, I'll bring you like a leftovers.
Yeah, show. here's the wings. You can like pick the chicken off them. But yeah, so I'm very excited for that to have him come back over this way, and we can catch up for my birthday. So it adds a nice extra layer of celebration on it, which is cool. I can go to the wrestling again. I was supposed to have a show tonight and then on the 6th. So it would have been, you know, lunch, probably I wouldn't have recorded the show, go to wrestling, done the show on the Sunday, would have been fantastic. But they got canned for different reasons. However, I've got two shows at the end of the month. I got one on the 20th, one on the 27th. Heads up, we have to record on the Sundays of those days. Probably should have told you. I didn't know that. I thought they were going to get canceled, so it worked out well. But having that just sense of coming to look forward to, and it's looking like it's going to happen. Like, I'm feeling very hopeful today.
Mm.
And I love it. I absolutely love it. It's like, 'cause yeah, last night, as I went and caught up with some work friends. And so, obviously, for those that know my day job, like, you know, gaming hobbies is therapy. So, we do a lot of tabletop role-playing games. And apparently, the new season of Critical Role was out. And, it's, you know, out of the group of us, everyone but myself and my friend Meg, we've never seen it before. And they're like, come, watch it. We'll see if we can convert you. No. Meg and I sat there like the two fucking old people in the Muppets and just berated that fucking show. It was awesome.
So what is it that you don't like about it? Is it the fact that they're clearly performers and they're...
No. They didn't perform enough.
Okay.
Like the way it had been delivered to me. So for those who don't know, Critical Role is a Twitch series where a bunch of very well-known voice actors, including PlayStation alums Laura Bailey and Ashley Johnson, play D&D together. And, you know, because they are voice actors and performers, like, you know, I was under the impression that there was this nth level degree of, like, just performance. And it was really not any of that. It was kind of bum.
I wonder if that's purely because you're coming in at the start of a new season. They kind of, they haven't fitted their roles well yet.
You say that, but then they're like, oh, why don't you just watch season two? Like, how many episodes is it? Ah, oh, it's 120 episodes. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, about 3 hours each. I'm like, no. So you guys don't love the characters. You have Stockholm syndrome because you feel committed after all that. Like, I probably should like this.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. I admittedly probably expected more, but the way it had been sold to me was this was like the be all and end all of D&D shows, and you know, Critical Role actually, you know, hurts D&D because of the high level of performance that they do, and you know, it makes this unreasonable expectations around what D&D is. And I'm gonna fucking tell you, after watching that one yesterday, the wrestling one that I did a couple months ago, fucking way better than at least episode one of campaign 3.
I mean, the issue is that no one really plays D&D like that.
No,
like no one has those awesome setups. No one has that level of
the setups
production
didn't change
like,
anything.
It's really just a it's a very different experience.
Mm.
Like if you're watching Critical Role and be like, I want to play D&D, that's not what you're going to get.
No. But yeah, because it was all like dumb, like the voices and stuff were cool, but like it didn't quite have the pageantry. I think it's the word. It just didn't have it. And I'm a bit dumbed out about it, but I did also enjoy tearing it a new one. So you know, that was a good part for me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so tonight, now I got no plans. So I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. But, like, I'm, you know, I'm kind of originally, because I was invited to this as a late
like
notice.
Nightclubs, here I come.
Well, I'm, you know, I'm feeling fucking ready to go. Like, that's,
I'm going to work tonight. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. Freedom Day, work night.
Yes, and like, because like I've always been a bit of a homebody, but like, I am also, you know, energetic and wanting to go see things and do people. I'm ready to.
It's funny.
Fucking
so
go
I'm
out in the
I'm
world.
Catching up with friends tomorrow, and the people I'm catching up with is my board game group.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, they've all moved into their new houses that I haven't been to yet. So we're going to go and do that. And they're like, oh, you know, what are we playing tomorrow? We literally can't play anything because the last person in our group is stuck in Metro Melbourne.
Yeah.
Like we shouldn't play anything while we, because obviously all the games that we play are those big legacy style games.
Correct,
where
yes.
You kind of have to have everyone there to do it. So I actually have no idea what we're doing tomorrow.
Even if you just hang out,
I think
that
pretty
might
much,
be
that's
enough.
Pretty much what I think we're going to do.
Basically. And also, Raider Type R for the resub as well. Thank you very much. I'd spot that a couple of minutes ago. I didn't spot it a couple of minutes ago. Thank you. Yeah, man. It's good to hang out with people. It's just good to fucking see you. And like,
don't touch me.
Fucking insane to have people in a vicinity.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. Like I went and saw my nieces before the show. That was fun. They're a little bit crazy for my liking, but you know, it is what it is.
No, it's really, yeah. She's like, cool. I'm not going to see you again now.
I've got a Texter mustache on my elbow. She drew all over my shorts. She hid my shoes.
Yeah.
You know, all that fun stuff. Jerk.
What a butt.
What a butt.
Other than that, other than our recent freedoms, how has your week been?
Yeah, it's nothing's really changed.
Yeah.
Work is still just as busy as it was. Like not much has changed for me between the Freedom Day and not having Freedom Day. So, it's all the same to me. So, you know, it's fine. It's been a week. It's all right.
Yeah.
We had some dramas earlier in the week. My kid's getting one of her last teeth through.
Oh, okay.
So she bit off her food. But the other day she's like, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to eat. So she ate all of her lunch, snacked, ate all of her dinner, ate all of my dinner, went to bed. And then half an hour after my wife and my kid have gone to bed, all I hear is this scream. I run in. There's just vom everywhere. And I'm like, what happened? She's like, well, the kid snuggled into me to give me a cuddle and went, bleh. And I'm like, ugh. And like, I'm one of those sympathy spewers.
Oh,
and
no.
I walked in, I'm like, I'm carrying my kid. She's covered in vomit. I'm just like, gagging the whole way down the hallway. And then she throws up all over me again. I'm just like, hold it in. Threw her in the shower. Ellie's like, I'll clean it up. I'm like, no, it's all right. You guys get yourselves organized. You can sleep in this room tonight. I've got to go to work anyway. I'll clean up in here. I'm just like wrapping all this stuff up in the towels, dumping it all.
Just setting fire to it.
And then the next morning, she's like, she thought it was great. She's like, this is the best. After the initial upsetting of like her throwing up, 10 minutes later after she'd showered me, cleaned up, she's like, this is the best. Want more to eat now?
Cause I feel light. I feel energized.
Yeah, it's like it's time to party, and oh, it's a nightmare.
Absolutely horrid.
The amount of washing that has to be done after, like all the bed sheets, the clothing, the floor, just
vomiting ain't fun.
No, not at all. Not at all. What about your week? How's your
My week didn't have any vomit in it.
Wasn't covered in vomit?
No vomit for my week, which I appreciate. No, it was standard. Nothing really exciting happened. Just mostly more week things. Just work, that sort of stuff. My new role officially came in. Woo! And then got backdated. So I now earn a whole extra $19 a fortnight. So totally worth all the extra stress. Can't wait.
Better than nothing.
Very, very true. But no, like, yeah, the week has been a week. It's been working and you know, not doing a whole bunch of things. I have played some games this week, so we'll get into the section where we talk about the playing the games now. I have been able to make a little bit more time for games this week. Not a lot, because I have been doing a lot of extra hours. Mm-hmm. So I've been helping set up a different site for Gamer up in Colac, which is about an hour-ish from here. So I went and did like a full honking day there, went back to work and finished up my stuff I had to do here in Geelong, and then home, and then the next day was a long one again. And like, it's, yeah, which is shitting me because like I need to get back in my gym routine, and if these longer hours are going to fuck me. It's going to be inconvenient. But, like, I have spent a little bit of time this week, or a little bit of time, most time I have spent this week is with Story of Seasons.
Oh, my God.
Yeah! Still playing Story of Seasons.
So glad you're still playing a game that came out, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, because, no, it's been that thing. Like, with these long days, I've come home, and I just need that meditative experience. So, I boot up Story of Seasons. It's the game that I know. It's the game that I love, and I can do it with my eyes closed. And I just thought, hoeing grounds and picking turnips and plucking weeds and feeding my chickens and, you know, just doing the things that is just nice and zen for me, which is fine. The game is still absolutely fantastic. Additionally, I have been spending a lot more time with Far Cry 6. Now, that game, from what I'm experiencing, is going to be a unit. It's going to be a big game.
I don't think
I'm going to see credits in it for a little while, because even where I'm at right now, I've put what I feel like is a number of hours, at least for me, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of just this one island. Mm. And there's three other ones to go. Like, and I'm not like I'm golden pathing it to an extent, as in, like, I'm just doing the main mission. Something pops up along the way, I might clear a checkpoint, or I'm not going to go out of my way to do these bullshit side stories. So I am having that main focus, but it's just not, you know, it just doesn't seem to be going away. There's more of it, which is great because I'm enjoying it, but it's just like there's so much Far Cry.
Yeah, it can be daunting at times.
Yeah. And like I said, look, still really good. I'm still having some performance issues in cutscenes, which is weird, because I mean, it's something that you weren't having. Mm. But yeah, look, it's still good. Still plays the same. I am enjoying it. I did some cockfighting in the game, finally. Did we talk about that last week?
Yeah, I think a little bit.
Yeah, which is essentially Tekken. I did talk about that last week, you know, the thing about it. Yeah, so it's more Far Cry. Still loving it, still enjoying it, blowing shit up. So what I've been doing is just listening to a podcast and just like shooting shit and clearing bases and stuff like that. It's got, thankfully, and I just kind of pause it when there's a story beat coming in, because other than that, it's just the same minutiae. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's more Far Cry, and for better or worse, it's up to you on whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But for me, it's a good thing. Now, speaking of things that just won't end, I know you you are so close.
So I'm literally at what I am... can only imagine is the final boss for Tales of Arise. I'm just shy of 30 hour mark, and I have golden pathed this. So the game is very clearly, from where I'm up to now, is very clearly separated into two parts or two acts.
Mm-hmm.
And at the second act, the game realizes that you're finishing the game, so it hits you with a bunch of exposition. It kind of just dumps it on you all at once, which can be daunting and can be tedious.
Mm-hmm.
So because I'm playing with Japanese audio English subtitles, have to read everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it even more daunting. And for a lot of the time, so I played for instance 4 hours last night. I spent maybe 3 hours in cutscenes last night with very little actual physical gameplay. Again, not that that's a bad thing. It does have, When you get here, there are some holes in the story that need to be filled, and they do a very good job of filling that. And because your party, at the moment I have a party of 5 or 6, I believe, it's not just about the protagonist. Each of those players that are on this journey with you all have their own stories and reasons to be where they are and why they're traveling with you. So it's trying to fill all the stories at once. And I think it does a good job of doing that, but I can see that. Some people may see it as tedious because there's not much gameplay in that section. So last night, I think I hit the boss room at about 4 o'clock this morning. And I'm like, if this is one of those typical JRPGs, I'm looking at a multi-stage boss fight. I'm looking at a bunch of cutscenes afterwards. I don't have it in me to see it through at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll save it. So that's probably what I'll do tonight.
Nice.
Finish the last of it.
Well, it'd be cool to finally get across the finish line and to have that final thought.
But the story takes you to some wonderful places, and it's really interesting how they get there.
Mm.
A few twists and turns. I'm hoping to do a spoiler cast with a few friends of the show. Hopefully that'll be up soonish. They're just waiting on me to finish it. And I think it'll be a fantastic discussion for those who are interested, because the story does really touch on a lot of interesting things. You know, the slavery between the two races, the discrimination between the two people, and how, you know, as it just the social inequalities of the two, between the ruling and those who are ruled over. Yeah, they touch on it really in really interesting ways, and it's not too in your face about it, which is good.
Nice.
So yeah, it'll be a very interesting discussion, I think.
I think it'll be great because the individuals I know that you've selected, probably the best people to chat to about it.
Yeah.
At least from a content space and a knowledge space as well. Yeah. So I think it'll be pretty sweet. Additionally, I did finally sit down with Back 4 Blood this week. Sorry, the code was provided. So we should mention Tales of Arise and Story of Seasons, both from Turn Left Distribution. Big thank you, Ubisoft.
Tales was from Bandai.
Was from Bandai. My bad.
Bandai Australia.
Bandai Ubisoft for Far Cry. So we were provided codes for Back 4 Blood by Koch Media. They gave us a squad's worth of codes, yep. One for you, one for me. So I gave one to a friend of ours, Craig, the Mullet Show. Now he's like, I'm not really a big zombie guy. I'm like, well, I'm gonna give you code anyway. And he's like, I'm not really a big first person guy. I'm like, come on, this will be fun. We can carry. I can carry you. It'll be a laugh. Let's just have some fun. Because obviously I'd played the beta with you, so I kind of knew what I was getting into. He really had no idea. So we jumped in and he's trying to learn the controls as we go, and we wanted to just be us and two bots was the original plan, but then they paired us up with some other jerks. And
you know, you can turn matchmaking off, so it will pair you with
I didn't know that. So we got these random jerks, and like they were fun, and like we were kind of helping each other out, and I was kind of covering for Craig as he was, you know, getting a hang of it all. And once we got into this, like the second area, he did sort of get that momentum back up, which was good. But like they were clearly impatient. We're playing on recruits. We're even playing on the hard difficulty. So there was no reason for them to be impatient. It's like clearly everyone's uneasy. Calm your shit. It was good. Like, so it is fun with that full squad, because I never played with the full squad in the battle thing, which is you and me in bots. So having the full squad was fun. Being able to revive each other and get that teamwork going. So far, the levels that I have played are near identical to... Actually, they are identical to the beta. There hasn't been any change. I have gone in solo, but I've not progressed any further than that. Mostly because I was having a conversation at the same time. So it was kind of like... It was, with it being a can't pause game, it was difficult for me to hold the two things at once. Yeah. So I was like, well, I'll try this again when I can give it my full focus. And then we'll go from there. So eventually Craig just got shitty at the game. He wasn't having a good time, which checks out. He gave me all the reasons to say that he wouldn't have a good time. And I'm like, you might have a good time. He's like, I'm probably not going to. And then he tried it. To his credit, he's like, look, I don't believe you, but I'll try it. Sure enough, didn't have a good time. So it's on me. But I'm very grateful and appreciative that he took the time to pander to my request and fucking hate it anyway. So that was pretty cool. Have you played any more this week?
A little bit. I'm right at the end of Act 1. I haven't played too much more. The only two games I've played this week really are Diablo 2 and Tales. Diablo 2 is an absolute shitstorm at the moment. Basically, they release a 20-year-old game on 20-year-old servers, and because there's so much information out in the world now on how to farm for high-end gear in a fast way, or in a timely fashion, an efficient way. Their servers can't keep up because they have to basically reconnect to the servers every time you start a new game, and you have to create a new game to respawn the enemies once you've cleared an area. So every 90 seconds, people are refreshing their server lobbies to create a new server to redo that 90-second run again.
Mm.
And
they're essentially DDoSing the servers.
And the potatoes are just failing.
Yeah.
So last week, they bought a patch in for PlayStation 5, which broke the play button.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So that was fun.
The back?
They reverted that patch, so it's now working again. And earlier this week, they put in another patch where you will be put into a queue now if the servers are overloaded. With the with the fine print of, hey, if the queue's really big, you won't see your number going down. You'll just have to sit there and wait until you get in. Please do not refresh the server list because it will re-put you at the back of the queue.
Interesting.
So that's been fun. The times I play, there's generally no queue, or it's below five people, so you're probably waiting just a few minutes, not too bad. But you would think that with all that Blizzard Activision cash, they'd be able to, you know, have some functioning servers. But because it's a purely online game, like if you're playing offline mode, this obviously doesn't affect you at all. But if you're playing online,
and the online is a big part of the yeah. game, so it's kind of odd for them to like not have that setup behind them. But it also sounds very Activision and Blizzard.
Yeah.
And as the chat says, it sounds like they need new servers. That is very true. And lawyers are expensive. They are getting a little bit fucked right now.
Yeah.
Which is good for them because they deserve it. The other thing that I have been playing this week, and I haven't, look, admittedly, I haven't put enough time into it, mostly because of my busy week. A couple of days before release, we were provided a review code for the latest in the Dark Pictures anthology, that is the House of Ashes. It's a game that we did a preview on a little while ago. We were kindly given an invite to a keynote speaky thingy. Yeah, that one. We got to see a little bit of the game. So I am not that far into it.
Full disclosure, I only installed it this morning.
Yeah, that's fine. Busy week.
I haven't even opened it yet. I haven't had a chance.
Yeah, so I would barely say a couple of hours in, mostly because it's not landing.
Really?
Yeah.
I must admit, and this is going to open me up to all bunches of ridicule, but every time I see this game, all I can think about is High School Musical because of the...
Ashley Tisdale. Well, one thing that's... You're going to be fine because her face render in this game is bad.
Oh, really?
It's not good. It's not good.
Oh, no.
So, here's the thing. So, the setup for the game itself is that there was a temple in 2000-something-something BC where a gentleman in Akkad, which is now Iraq, was sort of sacrificing individuals because mm-hmm. of this plague that was going on. This is all something you find in the first, like, 20 minutes of the game. And then eventually, they discover that there's some sort of monster in the catacombs under this temple, and that's what's killing all the people. And then cut to black. Now you're in 2003. You are playing a series of five players? Yeah, so four US Marines of varying rank and an Iraqi soldier. And then you fall into the catacomb or into this tomb, and then you are then fighting the monster in almost a Predator sort of setup. It makes okay. clicky noises and everything, and the story is like very similar to like Little Hope and Man of Medan. It's just like, how are these characters intermingling with each other? Because in supermassive fashion, it is all about that choice and decision. You get to dictate the choices that they make, the conversations that they have, how these characters present themselves among everybody else, and then you just keep going the story forward. So even in the early days that I have right now, granted, there is certainly a lot more time in I don't know how long the game is. However, right now, none of the characters are super likable to me. Like, there are some that I can see the beginnings of something interesting, but like Ashley Tisdale character, not doing anything for me. Her name is Rachel King. Then there's her husband, who is a senior ranking officer who comes in and sort of takes over the mission. He's bland, but I think he's supposed to be bland until he kind of does something cool later. It's the sort of the feel that I'm getting, like he's going to take a little bit while to build up. There is two standard Marines that you sort of meet when they go to Iraq. One of them seems really engaging. This is this more southern gentleman. He seems kind of interesting. But and the other gentleman's kind of a bit bland as well.
Yeah.
The Iraqi soldier, though, is an interesting dynamic. So from a storytelling perspective, I liked it a different dynamic. Because even at the start of the game, I said dynamic a lot. Even at the start of the game, like there's the Akkadian and another individual who is from they're sacrificing to mm-hmm. their god to get rid of this plague. So there's a moment that you get to make the choice, like, do you, you know, is it a friend of my friend, is my friend of my enemy is my friend sort of scenario, or can you betray them? And it kind of sets up the feed for what I think the main thread is. And this comes with the idea of having this Iraqi soldier in the squad. Because like he's introduced like separately, and then he kind of gets called into a confrontation, which is this something you can see in the trailer. So there's this confrontation where they're shooting at each other, and then the ground is fucking caves out from under them, and they all fall into this tomb. That's when all the things happen. In terms of the faces looking weird, it is some of the characters look uncanny valley weird, and I think the most prominent one is Ashley Tisdale. The other characters look like characters. Like, there is a little uncanny valley to them, because they're trying to go that ultra-realistic-y look, but it's just a little bit too jank to make it not come together. And then it feels like with Ashley Tisdale, they've tried to put her face onto a smaller head, but just by, like, grabbing the corners and bringing it in. Because it doesn't... Her skull looks weird. However, other things... The game looks really, really good. Like, I'm playing it on PS5, so the world itself looks fantastic. There are some times when it doesn't, but like, it is this weird sort of, they've clearly focused on some things and not others. And this is very similar to some of the issues that we had with Little Hope, was that you can really tell where they prioritize their time, especially in a working from home environment over the last, 18 months. Because some shots look fantastic, and then one shot I can almost see the so there's the scene where the Iraqi soldier is walking across a courtyard into what would be his house, and you can almost see where the floor and the green floor and wall would be, and now they've pasted shit over the top because he kind of floats his way across the courtyard and doesn't it's not as bad as that. I am sort of exaggerating, but like, I looked at it, I'm like, I can clearly tell that this has been done in the mocap, and this is where the camera was, and this is what the floor. Yet sometimes in, like, especially the cutscenes, it just looks tremendous. And then there are times where sort of certain things in the cutscene are a bit jank compared to, because they, once again, very similar to what was the game that was on that what was it called?
You talking about Until Dawn?
Not Until Dawn. It was similar. It was when you used your mobile phone in it.
It's called
the detective one that had the chick from
Arrow. It was one of the PlayStation.
Not Playlink. What was it called? Was it called Playlink?
It was a Playlink game, but I can't think of what it was called.
Yeah, it was like that. That's fuck me. Why is it like gone from my head? But yeah, so in that game, whatever it is called, because I can't remember it right now, that you can tell they very clearly prioritize face capture.
Yeah,
because some other things were just not looking that good, and then I think the same thing applies here.
Yeah,
for better or worse. Gameplay itself is what you expect. You are using the compass, and you're picking your dialogue options from that way. So that includes the whole branching butterfly effect sort of setup that they have, and finding the secrets from the world, finding the little in this case it's tablets, previously it was pictures, to provide that premonition to look at the future outcome. One of the big selling points of this, and this was part of the preview, this was part of the trailer, is that there is now a fully movable 360 camera. So previously it was a camera that could only kind of like, it would max out at the screen corners and you would get just slight tilts.
Yeah.
It was not a way out, Reesby's. There was not a way out, and it'll come to me later. When I'm done talking, I'll you Googleize it. But, So there are moments where you are, like, an example is early on, you're in this hut and the free camera is just having a really shit time. And it's like, cause you're getting way, like, cause it's,
is it's, it having a shit time because it's clearly colliding with the in-game assets, or?
I think in order to avoid it, hitting a wall, it's coming and scoping in.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of games do that, cause otherwise you're going to, your camera's going to be outside the wall.
Yeah. And like, that's what it's doing. So it's kind of like, because they've to make matters worse, it is in a widescreen,
a movie ratio, whatever the movie ratio is.
Not 4:3, because that's a square. It's not 9 by 16, because that's a standard HD. It's like whatever the next one down is, 2 point something, whatever. It's the fucking, not ultra wide, not quite like the Hateful Eight, but standard movie widescreen. So when you then zoom in, you just get a fucking sight of someone's head.
Yeah.
Like they're clearly trying to avoid the clipping, but sadly it kind of locks it in, and then the camera's trying to correct itself, knowing very well that it's zoomed in on the individual, and it just gave me a little motion sickness feeling. I'm like, oh, that's a rough feeling. Mm. So that's fine. Like, I haven't finished it yet. I will get there. I feel it might be a slog, but I hope it picks up soon. Because Little Hope just hit me in such a way that I really enjoyed, because it was a very Silent Hilly in its sort of delivery. Hidden Agenda. Thank you, Reverend Park. Park comes through with the facts. Hidden Agenda. That's the one. So I will spend some time with it. All the army stuff isn't really my forte either.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that. So that's probably why it's sort of difficult to pull me into that.
Not feeling that mystical sacrifice temple.
No, like once again, you still haven't seen the creature yet. So like you get like a little side glance of him and you go, ooh, I don't know what that is. But I know if you've bought the collector's edition for whatever reason, you just straight see it. There's a miniature that comes in the box. You know, because all the preview footage was all like, ooh, I wonder what it looks like. Yeah, here it is.
They might do one of those Spider-Man things where it's like, don't open the box till you finish the game because you'll spoil yourself.
Yeah, potentially. Depends how key the monster is to the overall story, I suppose. Here's the key selling point. Anyways, I got a bit more time with it. I'm not there yet, but we will get there. Anything else? That was it?
That was it for me.
That's everything I played this week. All right, before we jump into the news, we'll do what we do each and every week, which is our Get Less Fat update. So for those that don't know, I have lost over 35 kilos using a product called The Man Shake. It is a meal replacement shake that I am an ambassador for that also helps power this show. So each and every week, Max and I come together, we sit down, and we, in order to keep ourselves accountable on our weight loss journeys, we share how our week has been. Max, as I said, you've lost upwards of 15 kilos at the moment. Yeah. Where are you at this week? How has it been? Because the man challenge finished up, but neither of us did it.
I went so strong in the first week, and then I kind of just forgot about it. Terrible, I know. This week's been fine. I haven't had many shakes this week. I've been pretty naughty this week, actually, so probably not good. I don't have any numbers for you because I haven't checked. I know, right? Terrible. I'm still hitting all those, like, you know, the daily step goals and all that fun stuff. With the nature of the work that I do, I'm sitting at like 15,000 steps before 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'm not concerned about that. My meals have been pretty erratic this week, actually. I've been naughty.
Mm.
The snacks have gotten me this week.
Oof. Yeah. Is that
peanut butter and jelly chocolate that got me this week? So good.
I've had a very good week.
Oh, at least one of us did.
So a couple of things. The cookies and cream flavor finally released.
Yeah.
I've known about it for like months. It's very, very good.
Are they doing a lady version?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the way. Because I've got some familiar as well.
I think Ali wants me to get her some.
Yes, yeah, so I'll put some in a little baggie for you.
Sounds good.
It's got little. It's literally, so it's kind of vanilla-y, but it's got literal cookie chunks in it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's fantastic. So I bought a couple of bags and they're on their way as well. So that's number one. So it's kind of helped my rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, previously it was the birthday cake.
Have you run out of birthday cake?
No, yet? I still got a bag left. I'm going to hold on that one for a little while. Until I feel it. And additionally, my weigh-in this morning, I weighed in at 105.6.
Nice.
So last week I was 107. So I've lost at least a kilo and a half in the last week somehow.
It's that weight of freedom coming off you?
No, I think it's an actually straight like loss of lean muscle mass because I've gone to the gym in so long.
The gym is still closed?
No, mine's open, man. Like, it's the smallest gym anyway, so they don't have to worry about the caps per se because like there's never at any point been more than X amount of people in there.
Yeah.
So like it's open 24 hours now. Just fucking go. Just get in there. Just wear a mask when you're not on a thing. So yeah, I've lost 1 point something kilos this week. So that puts me a close to 37 kilos lost in total, which is fantastic. So I'm essentially 5.5 kilos away from my goal. My goal was always been to get to 100 kilos or as close to, and I had spent so long at that 107, 108 kilo mark. I was really kind of devastated. So to have that push through again now to go over on the other side of that, I cannot complain at all. I cannot complain. I'm super, super happy. And I've not even changed anything. Like, I don't know. Just something's happened in the last couple of days. It's kind of, everybody's gone, oh yeah, let's lose weight again, which can only be, I can only think is just my the muscles that I gained from the gym earlier in the year are fading away.
Your body knows that we've got freedom now. You're like, I need to look sexier when I go out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've got the world to impress now.
Yeah.
But speaking of, and on a side note, by the way, so one thing I've discovered, I don't think I talked about this last week. Did I? I don't know.
I don't know, because I don't know what you're going to talk about now.
Oh, so one of the problems that I have with my weight loss journey.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
With my weight loss journey is I have a lot of like residual fat and fucking skin just on my stomach, right? So one of my biggest fears has always been my guts hanging over my shorts or my guts hanging out from under a shirt, even when I was bigger. So my stomach actually hangs lower now because there's nothing in it. So what I've discovered, I say discovered as if I didn't know they existed, is long tees. They hang all the way down in my crotch area. So like there's no chance, no matter how I put my arms in the air, that my shit's going to fall out. It's fucking awesome. I want long tees all the time.
It's all I wear. Long tees are the best.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Like it's a shame all the wrestling shirts that I have don't come in long tees, because if they did, whew. But yeah, it's been an absolute lifesaver. It's weird how much confidence it's given me just having a shirt that's slightly longer. It's insane. Because like, I know I've talked about this on here before, but like this journey has been such a mixed battle, because I can't tell you the last time I weighed this much, 105. I can't tell you. Like it would have to be before I was 14. Has to be. I'm 32 now. So like for the longest time in my life, I have been a big dude. And my brain is literally incapable of not seeing me the old way. And it will get there eventually, but I do think there is some hard body dysmorphia in there that will never go away. So that constant fear of my shit hanging out under my shirt or whatever helped. It hasn't helped, because like there are days where I'm like, I've put all this effort, I've all this sacrifice and I still feel like shit and I'm not winning. Like I'm thinner, but I feel like I'm not.
Yeah.
It sucks. So like just, it's insane how just a slightly longer shirt feels so much better. Cause you know, I'm wearing jeans that are like, you know, I was a 44 and now I'm a 36. So what's that like? 4 or 5 sizes smaller. I'm in an XL shirt now compared to like a 4 or 5 XL shirt previously. And like the long tee fits across the shirt and the chest, and it's long enough. Like I should be living the dream. But it's fucking insane how some days my brain wants to cave in on itself. But if you want to support Max and I on our weight loss journey, or maybe even start your own, you can. There is a link in the description. It is bit.ly/FTPManshake. You don't even have to buy anything, dude. Just click the link, give us some love, and maybe if you're inclined, you could change your life. Start your own journey. Sound fun. Anyway, let's get into the section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Max, I've done enough talking. It's your turn now.
Let's kick off with some Sony news. So yesterday, out of nowhere, in typical PlayStation fashion, Sony announced a new State of Play broadcast, which will take place...
Yeah, it was like 2 in the morning. Yeah. I came home from like Out Being Freedom, and I went, what the fuck?
Yeah, so it's set to take place Wednesday, the 27th of October. That is this coming Wednesday. The show will be about around 20 minutes. This is from the PlayStation blog.
I think it's 8 a.m. Thursday morning for us.
Yeah, so the show will be around 20 minutes in length, reasonably short. However, it won't be focused on just one game. Sony says that the broadcast will feature third-party titles across PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 with no further information given. But it's just upcoming third-party titles.
What do you think? What are you feeling?
Call of Duty.
Has there been a big Vanguard trailer yet? There has.
Yeah, but with it being a week out from that, deal with Sony, I would imagine it will pop up at some point. I'm hoping to see some Final Fantasy, but that's not going to happen because it didn't happen at Tokyo Game Show. I doubt it's going to happen here.
It's not very long. So there's probably six games at best. 20 minutes
is not that long. I guess it'll show some stuff that's coming out before Christmas, I would imagine.
Yeah, but there's like there's not much.
I guess. I don't know. I've got no idea what they could show.
Well, because that's one of those things. Like, we know what's happening, as we discussed before. We know what's happening in the first part of next year. There's not, like, it's pretty... It's fucked.
I don't want to talk about it.
We'll talk about it later. But, like, this isn't going to be the next... Is this going to be the next 6 months? And even then, like, not in 20 minutes, you can't really...
Yeah. 20 minutes is at best. Like, let's say they're looking at, like, 2-3 minute trailers... With some intermissions between each one, we're probably looking at, yeah, like 5 to 6 games.
Yeah. And like no gameplay, it's probably going to be trailers.
Yeah.
Ghost White Tokyo will be in there because you'll get the Deathloop treatment and we'll see it like 1,000 times for next year.
Well, at least we won't see Deathloop again.
That's true. Are we sharing the love or is it... I think sharing the love has been fun.
Yeah, we can share the love if you want.
Sony patents, Max. Sony has currently been catching some flack online for a patent that almost immediately sounds like a bad idea. Registered in January of 2020, but approved only recently, the patent outlines a potential PlayStation feature that will allow streamers and their viewers on services such like Twitch to either temporarily or permanently remove players from multiplayer games.
Yeah, this is legit. This is actually a thing. I looked at the diagram. It's fucked.
The patented and rather detailed flowchart shows the process of spectators deciding to remove or, quote, bench players who aren't pulling their weight. Oh, fuck, I'm rooted. Players can also be sent messages telling them to play better and that there's even mention of viewers paying to have people kicked from their game. That won't be abused. It all seems to come down to a voting system, which can be influenced by a player's supposed skill level. My skill level is shit.
Yeah, so the flowchart is like essentially basically a bunch of like if statements, like if skill is bad, you can hit this button and it will shoot them a message saying...
You poo.
Either play better next round or you're going to get kicked from the game.
Yeah.
It's a really shitty system. And with Sony stepping into the... there was a few stories early last year, I think, from memory, where Sony kind of stepped into the esports genre. Mm-hmm. This is concerning.
Yeah. Now,
again, most patents turn into nothing, but being able to play an online multiplayer game... that you're essentially going to be voted on by viewers to be removed from the game kind of seems really shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And won't it all be abused?
100% going to be abused. And I can't wait. No, I can't. It's going to be horrible. Like, for someone like myself who actually has a low skill level, nor do I play multiplayer games anyway. But, like, my concern is, yeah, like, the way that this could and will be abused by either the streamers themselves or the audience, like, it's not good, man. Now, granted, it's not going to be used in an esport capacity. Like, you're playing on an esport and then someone just kicks you the fuck out. Like, yeah. Not going to happen. But this seems to be... This just seems to have the potential for absolute predatory behavior. In like as well, let's just target
the
and
fact
bully
that
this
they're
individual.
Like, we're going to allow you to send messages saying get good, play better. Like, that seems concerning.
Yeah, especially if an individual may have various challenges, like maybe abilities challenges. Therefore, they can't play any better. They're just playing the best they can. You're like, get fucking better.
Yeah, rough. Hopefully, that doesn't come.
And look, it's hard enough being men in our 30s who. We work full-time jobs, we have families, and we want to, like, let's just have some time with... Like, we don't have the times that all you fucking young kids do to just get really, really good at a game. And then say no to some fucking fluoro head...
I mean, I just don't have the reflex speed anymore.
I'm going to sound like such an old fuck right now. Some fluoro head prick on fucking Twitch, you know, getting poggers in the chats, having people get their, you know, having people just want to play a game getting kicked out.
Yeah. It's all good.
You know? And then they're like, oh, thanks for the biddies. Kick this fuck guy out.
Thanks for the biddies. New PS5 firmware update released earlier this week, weighing in at around 915 meg, which improves more of the system performance.
That system better be fucking rocking.
Yeah.
Next up, PS5 is bigger than Switch, well, in a sale perspective, not in an actual physical. Bad headline, Max.
I mean, both in physical and now in sales.
PlayStation 5 was the US's best-selling hardware platform in both units and dollar sales in September of 2021, ending a 33-month Nintendo Switch streak, and it's the first time a system has outsold Nintendo Switch in the US since the PS4 did all the way back in November 2018.
That's crazy.
Don't worry, October's going to fix it because the Switch OLED came out, so fuck it, it's back.
Yeah, I sometimes forget how popular the fucking Switch is.
And it's also readily available compared to PS5.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now, as they said, every PS5 that's being made is being sold. I mean,
that's impressive in itself that, you know, there's such a hardware limitation at the moment that it's still managed to actually outsell the Switch.
I know that is.
That's crazy. It'll be the ATO. You're under, they want their money back. That's the latest scam call here.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah, you've got outstanding warrants from the ATO. Please give us all your details and $1,000 worth of iTunes gift cards to pay off your fine.
Because the ATO really wants to get that fucking they want to get the latest Taylor Swift album. That's the only way they can do it.
Next up, we have the Uncharted movie.
I'm gonna sit this up and then let you
go. The trailer leaked earlier this week, but was officially dropped yesterday morning at time of recording. And it will be releasing in cinemas February 2022. That's all I've put on this because I just could not care less about this movie. It looked terrible.
Have you watched the trailer?
Yeah, it looked terrible. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Feel kind of... It's in a weird situation for me. Like, they took a set piece straight out of one of the games, and I just don't think... Again, I've said it a few times on the show. I haven't played these games. I've only watched them being played. And I recognize that the cargo plane one, yep, it did not translate very well, in my opinion. It looked very... It looked tacky, I guess, is the word I might use. I don't know. I think it's not for me.
See, that's the thing. It should be. We are the demographic. We are the hardcore of the hardcore. Well, I am. I got fucking symbols tatted on my arm. Right? I am the one that they are trying to sell this movie to in a fan base sense. Right? Really, it's going to the masses, but that's fine. So,
Before you get into your rant, I should mention, as Crispy put in the chat, there was a fan film with Nathan Fillion.
Oh, that was so good.
And that is now retrending on the internet.
Good, because it's better. Look at Ryan with those Squid Game marks on his arm. That's right. I'm destined for the Squid Games. But I should be the one that's fanboy in this fucking film. Uncharted movie forever. Like, what's kind of been wanted? Like, I want to see it one day. It's not that.
What's not doing it for you?
So the couple of different things. I'm watching it and I look at it and I go, and I honestly kind of felt nothing from it. So I didn't hate it. I didn't have a visceral hate reaction. I didn't even have a love reaction either. It was just a, you know, because I look at it and you see fucking Spider-Man, whose name I can't remember right now.
Tom Holland.
Not even really be... not even really be... Nathan Drake, because he's not charismatic, he's not being like charming, he's not being witty, he's being unnecessarily stoic for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Marky Mark looks nothing like Sully and he's not playing Sully. He is, but he's not delivering Sully. If anything, he probably could have pulled off Drake, which is dumb. Seeing the woman playing Chloe was really cool. I was like, oh shit, I didn't know Chloe was going to be in this. So I did pop a little bit at seeing like a really good looking Chloe. Like, she got the hair, she got the jacket, she got the look. Like, that ticked a box for me. I was like, sweet, I didn't know she was going to be in it. Fucking A. Like, she actually looks like the actress. She kind of looks like Claudia Black, which is very inspired of what Chloe is because it's the voice actress. So I'm like, cool, that's a thumbs up right there. And then, yeah, they steal straight two set pieces from the Uncharted games, which also makes no fucking sense because they pull the, as you said, the cargo plane scene from Uncharted 3 and then additionally the pirate ship in the cave system that we see in Uncharted 4. So this movie was meant to be a prequel to the games from a timeline perspective, yet then pulls two set pieces from things that happened so staggeringly in the future. Is this like some fucking Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness nonsense?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. So that is interesting. I'm like, okay, how are we going to tie all these pieces together? Because you know, it's cool. Like, you've made them and they look great ish. But yeah, okay. Okay. Sure. Well. I'm not excited. I'll see it. But I'm not excited for it. I'm not excited for it.
It's just another thing to do in February,
I guess. One thing I'm kind of... fucking February. One thing I'm kind of excited for after seeing the trailer this morning was the new GTA trilogy. So the
until I saw the price tag.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition. Dumb name. Trailer finally released overnight, and it looks fucking dope compared to its PS2 predecessors. It does have higher resolution textures. It's got completely revamped lighting. Draw distances are a thing in the past. But crucial improvements include a GTA 5 inspired control scheme at a fucking stroke, as previously reported, but it also expanded to instant mission restarts and improved targeting, because that when you go back and play it, it's real rough. You'll now be able to set waypoints like in more modern open world games, while the weapon and radio selection wheels have been given a facelift. All of this is in addition to all three titles running at 60 in 4K on your PS5. So it's very much the skeleton of the game is there. They've reskinned it, so it does still look polygonal, but it looks better polygonal.
I also want to add to this, revealed this morning too, GTA 3 from this definitive edition trilogy will be released on PlayStation Now.
Doesn't help us.
GTA San Andreas is heading to Games Pass, and the game that is most likely to be the fan favorite of Vice City is going to no service. So I wonder if you're going to be able to buy them separately if they're being offered separately.
I believe that you can.
On the two different services.
I remember something being separately. Yeah. But either way.
And yes, as of last week, Crispy, the OG GTA games got removed from the store, so you'll have to buy the new ones.
Yeah, so the PSO, it's very similar to the World of Warcraft, the Warcraft 3 Reforged scenario where the original is now unavailable. So if you bought it, rad, I always put it off because it's $50, seemed like a lot of money. So now that makes me pay $100. Which is a bit fucked, but no, look, it does look better.
It unquestionably looks better.
Okay, it does look like an old game, but it looks like the best version of the old game.
As long as it doesn't play like that old game, because they played rough.
Yeah. So the cars themselves look better. Like, they all have reflections of, you know, like the bonnets are all reflecting, the lights are better, and draw distance. I didn't realize the draw distance was so shitty.
Yeah,
because like they show a nice side by side. It's like, here's the original, swipe over it. Here's the next gen version, and like it is noticeable. Like it is like, fuck me, that is a massive improvement. So I'm very excited. Is $100 worth the price? No. However, no.
For those of in Australia, I know EB Games are doing a trade deal for it.
Yeah.
To trade any two games, knock it down to $29.
Oh, that's a better way to go about it.
For those people who have disced consoles.
Yes. Digital, eat a dick, I guess.
Let's talk some more delays, Ryan, because why not?
Oh, fuck me.
Elden Ring has been delayed from its original 21st of January date to the 25th of February because nothing else is coming out in February. Developer From Software writes, quote, the depth and strategic freedom of the game exceeded our initial expectations. Thank you for your trust and patience. There is some good news, however. Signups are currently live for a network test to play mid-November.
So this is more a you thing than me.
So...
you're all damp for the...
Look,
for the
it's only a month. If they need an extra month to make it pretty, make it run well, bug fix, cool. But God, does it have to be in February, man? Like, this is... So, for context, this is coming out, I think, 10 days after Horizon, 4 days after Destiny 2's DLC. That's going to be a big one. I've got Dying Light 2 coming in February. We're in a chat with a couple of friends who do similar stuff to us, and I put a picture in there of there's like 12 games on that list and put them in the chat. Only two of them have crosses on them that I have no interest in playing. That's very concerning for me. February.
Especially as we've had troubles with the last 2 weeks of just meeting the games. Like, we've had like, was it 6 games that we've had to sort of play for review in the last 3 weeks? And we're like, oh my God, this is insane. And then we haven't even like touched February yet.
It's not good.
Like, look, once again.
I have a feeling, and it sucks for me to say this, but it has a feel. I have a feeling that Dying Light 2 comes at the start of February. I'm going to have that finished by the end of February. I'm going to play the crap out of that game. I have a feeling that Horizon is going to get pushed for me. I have a feeling that Elden Ring, if my choice is to play Elden Ring or play Horizon, I think personally it's play Elden Ring for me.
Which is, well, that's
which is great because you're not going to play it, so you can play Horizon.
I'll play Horizon. I'll review Horizon. Easy done. Like problem solved, really. Like, we'll redistribute.
I'll get to Horizon when I get to Horizon. But, yeah. I know, blasphemous to say that on a...
Yeah, we're going to have to look at the month and, like, literally map it out. Like, there's only two of us, too, which makes it fucking hard. You know?
Destiny's going to be that for me, Crispy. When I get sick of Elden Ring, I'm going to be playing the new Destiny 2 expansion.
Oof. See, I have no poos about that. So my month looks probably okay.
Yeah, your month is probably fine. It's like,
like Dying Horizon, Light, cool. Sweet. Woo. Horizon, woo. Elden Ring, yeah.
I think, what else is that? I think the remasters of Life is Strange is in there. Yeah. I think What's that?
Movie Saints Row is in February.
Yeah, Saints Row is in February.
I'll be playing that.
That movie game, that horror movie. What's that? Dawn of the Dead? What's that horror movie with the Necronomicon with Sam?
Evil Dead?
Evil Dead. That game's coming out in February.
February's fucked.
Like, what else? What else can be delayed into February?
Everything.
I jokingly said PlayStation were going to announce at the State of Play that Horizon's being moved to a better month just to accommodate me. But
yeah.
And next up on the delay, we have CD Projekt When. The company has pushed back the release dates for both Cyberpunk 2077
That's a good title.
And The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition on PlayStation 5. The two current gen ports were originally set to launch this year. A statement from CDPR reads, quote, based on recommendations supplied by our teams supervising the development of both games, we have decided to postpone their releases until 2022. Thank God they're finally listening to their teams. It goes on to reveal that Cyberpunk is currently planned for the first quarter of 2022, while The Witcher 3 is aiming at the second quarter of 2022. It concludes, quote, apologies for the extended wait, but we really have to get this right. Don't forget, Cyberpunk came out last year. They're still doing it.
Like, my stance on CD Projekt Red back in the day was always, this is not the studio you think it is. Everyone thinks that they're this beacon of fucking awesome and that they were like the, you know, the fucking studio for the gamers. They ain't. And like we saw very quickly that they weren't when this whole Cyberpunk stuff went down, and they still haven't done it. This was part of their agreement to make things, you know, make things right, quote unquote. Like, how fucked is this game? No one's gonna give a fuck into like next year. No one gives a fuck now. Like, it's so weird. Like, they're gonna, I guess, gonna keep pushing until I can just fade off into the distance, you know. And then I just don't fucking get it. I do not understand how this company has been able to do it the way they have been.
Yeah.
It's just genuinely baffling to me. And yet they still see success somehow, at least fiscally, from...
I mean, that's because they have their own gaming service.
Yeah, with GOG obviously is a big part of that. But I just... I can't... Part of me is a little bit enjoying the crumbling of this studio that everyone held so high, and I'm like, they're not that good. And I'm loving watching them crumble in a real kind of like sadistic part of me. And I probably shouldn't, but there's that. And in terms of the next gen version of Witcher 3, just fucking work on Cyberpunk. Fucking on.
I would actually be more happy if they just gave up on Cyberpunk and just did Witcher 3.
Yeah. It's bad. Quick bits, Max.
Yeah, I somehow gave them to you again, but I've got one to add at the end. So
sweet, I got one. There's a couple on it as well. First one, God of War 2018 is releasing on PC on the 14th of January 2022 and is being developed in-house at Santa Monica. This is on the back of it selling 19.5 million units.
What? It's interesting when...
That's so many.
It's interesting when we all thought that Nixus was being bought in to do PC ports and Santa Monica's like, no, we got this, guys.
Man. So... This is contrary to, I guess, popular opinion, but I'm fucking stoked for this.
Yeah, apparently it supports ultra widescreen. It's going to be, really awkwardly, it's probably going to be the best way to experience this game.
Yeah, man. And like, everyone knows.
Blow my computer up if I try and play it.
You know, anyone that's ever watched the show before, you know, on the record, it is, for me, it's not just one of the greatest game of 2018. It is one of the greatest games of all time for me personally. And if that means that there are more people in this world that can experience it, then fucking go ham. I would love to play it again on PC, but my PC sucks bum. So it would actually probably look worse than if I played it on PS5. So I am very happy to have it come across, because where is it at right now? It's free if you have a PS5 in the PlayStation Plus collection. They've sold 19.5 million units. Where can they go?
Theoretically run its course.
Theoretically, they've hit their cap. So why not share the love? Yeah. From a business side, share the love. From a personal side, share the love.
Yeah.
Like in this room, there are what? 1, 2, 3 statues. There's a custom controller. There's a fucking axe on the wall. This game means the world to me. And I want more people to experience it. So it's a fucking win for everyone. Assassin's Creed Valhalla Viking Age Discovery Tour is now live. Ubisoft has allegedly given the go-ahead to the first mainline Splinter Cell game in almost a decade, according to development sources reported by VGC. I'll believe it when I see it. What's the one you want to add?
Blue Box Game Studios.
That was what I was going to add!
Took to Twitter earlier this week, complaining that they are receiving death threats for the trailer they still haven't provided us with.
Who the fuck are giving you death threats? No one has spoken about you. No one is talking about you. Everyone forgot who you were, Blue Box Games. So now you're trying to pull out this pity party? No, you fucked it. Like, asterisk. Don't fucking death threat people. Just don't. Just stop being dumb fucks about it. Just don't do it. Return to my rant. Who? Like, you could have slunk away into the darkness. You could have got away with it all. Instead, you popped your head back up like a fuckhead. And then now you're back in the conversation reminding everyone of how you let everybody down. How you lied. How you have yet to deliver anything.
I'm so glad I brought this up.
Like, it makes me sound like such an asshole that apparently they're receiving in-person and online threats. So if, you know, Haram, whatever the fuck, is a real person, allegedly, he's like, to me, that reads we're getting digitally and in-person threats because we're real people. In case you weren't sure, where we are real people. Blue Box is a real studio. Everyone can go there and go yell at us. I know this makes me sound horrible. I don't believe it. I really don't believe it.
It's hard.
No, they can fuck themselves.
Look, yeah, it sucks that is the case. Like, you know, it's just a game, guys.
Yeah, like, that part of it in terms of...
It's just a game.
Yeah, that part of it in terms of, like don't death threat people.
Yeah.
I understand.
Who knows what they're doing?
It's not happening. Never happened.
The more hate mail you send them and they have to read, the longer it takes for them to release it.
Oh, and additionally, D-Brand, they have come back into the plate market by releasing PS5 side plates. They got around it, according to what you've told me.
Yeah, so their loophole is apparently that the lawsuit was based on the fact that the plates are patented design. So they've changed the design. The shape itself. So they've changed the design of their plate.
Yeah. So like the Dracula collar is the part, like the part that makes it look very much of like a vagina is what is patented. They've patented the vagina. So if you can make it look like something else, then you can make cool side plates.
Yep.
That works. Shout out to Sony. Patent the vagina. So keep going. What's next?
We have the top 10 best-selling PlayStation 4 games in Australia for the week ending the 17th of October. Number 10, Insurgency Sandstorm. Number 9, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Number 8, God of War 2018. Number 7, Demon Slayer. Number 6, Red Dead Redemption 2.
I can remember all the extra words.
I actually don't know all the words unless they're written in front of me, okay. And that text is way too small to read from back here. Number 5, 2K 2022. can't even read that. Number four, Back for Blood. Number three, GTA 5. Number two, FIFA 22. And number one, again, Far Cry 6.
Shout out to Far Cry 6. Well done. Shout out to Back for Blood.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And this Insurgency Sandstorm's getting some love.
Yeah, I think it's on sale.
Oh, okay. Well, no, God, it was on sale, that's for sure. And so is Red Dead. Red Dead's like $20.
And Demon's Light came out this week, so. Yeah.
But here are the upcoming titles for your PlayStation device, PS4 and PS5. Guardians of the Galaxy on both consoles on October 26th. Riders Republic to both consoles on October 28th. Free weekend at the moment, free trial weekend.
Yeah, no, apparently it's just straight up the you can play the first 4 hours for free.
Oh, that's pretty mad. Voice of Cards, The Isle Dragon Roars, PS4 on October 28th. And Fatal Frame, Maiden of Blackwater, PS4 and PS5, October 28th. Not a whole lot. Guardians, I forgot that was coming.
I totally forgot about Guardians too. I'm also pretty keen to check out Voice of Cards because I think that's the new Yoki Tori game who did...
None of that.
Like, yeah, I know. It's a me game, not a you game.
Yeah. But. Well, Riders, I played the beta and went, nah. So that wasn't easy.
The same thing.
Yeah. So that's an easy one for us. No, like, so next week, Guardians, I'm going to have to wait and see what the reviews are. I'm not super keen. And even then, so this coming week for us, this is making up playing all the games that we probably should have finished a review already.
That should backlog.
Damn backlogs.
Damn backlogs.
Anyway, that is the end of this week's episode. Back in person, feels good. The energy is different, as you said. It's just a whole fucking experience when you're in person. It's so good, so good. Like, is how long were we doing it?
Like, I lost count.
Was it like July?
I lost count. There was a 2-week period when I came back, and then we went back into lockdown. The issue is, every time we went into a lockdown, they're like, don't worry, guys, 7 days, 77 later.
Yeah, it's been
yeah.
A long time, but we're glad to be back, and we're also glad that you, the individual, has taken the time to watch this show and consume it in your ear holes, whether it be here on the YouTubes or wherever. So thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us bullshit about PlayStation again for another week. We would love it if you could, would be to share the word. Get us out there. Help tell your friends. If they're like, oh man, you know, it's such a nice day today. They're like, well, have you heard of this PlayStation podcast? Just drop it. Random conversations. Next time you go to Optus or whatever, just fucking put it in the podcast app. Just give us the downloads or whatever. That's fine by us. No, we have no desire to ever be the biggest fucking thing, but more listeners wouldn't hurt. Is what I'm getting at. All right, Max, send us home.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on the YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.
Wee.
Wee.